Hello, friends. This is the Calling Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Beck, a.k.a. Carlito Esposito, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, very good friend, and Chelsea superfan, Paul Hogan, a.k.a. Pauly Playoffs, a.k.a. Mr. Steal Your Girl. My man, let's get it popping.
Great day let's to go. You.
Oh, it's what a great day. I'm so excited, so jazzed, so enthralled to speak on this game. Third game of our UCL campaign, and it's against the, semifinalists of last year. Really strong team, Ajax.
Yep.
Exactly. And so, yeah, before we get into it, I wanted to give a special shout out to, wait a minute, our listeners in England?
Let's go.
Oh, wow, this is great. Exactly the type of listeners we want. Last time I was actually in London was with our college team, Paul. That was shit 12 years ago, 13, Jesus. 12, 10 years ago, something like that. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
They didn't invite England you is back, amazing. Huh?
No, they never invited me back. That's okay. I'm American. So special shout out to them. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah,
we're just getting
you guys
started here, but we love it, and we love Chelsea, and we especially love Chelsea today because – Ajax was not the better team, and I cannot wait to get into it with Paulinho. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Let's get right into Chelsea's starting lineup.
All right. Go ahead.
Very much what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, we go Kepa, Tomori, mm-hmm. Zuma, Azpi, mm-hmm. Alonso, the only one we missed, which probably makes a lot of sense.
His hair looked amazing, though.
Oh, Lonzo with the good hair. Let's mm-hmm. got to have him out there. A little too early for Emerson.
Sure,
but
it's okay.
Good to have him back on the bench. Mm-hmm. Mason Mount, Jorginho, Kovacic, Willian, Tammy, Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah, so let me start off by saying Callum Hudson-Odoi had a lot of chances,
yep.
especially in the first half. Part of it, and I believe that it finally caught up to him, it's the rust factor.
Yeah,
he was sloppy in possession. He was sloppy in his chances. But the fact that he's getting them,
yep.
it shows two things. Number one, they were backing off of him because that right back in particular was pooping his pants.
It
he
was
wanted
crazy.
No part of Cho.
So obvious.
Oh,
it
man.
Was awesome.
Their whole back line was real slow. Severely lacking for pace.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he wanted to exploit it as often as possible. It's just the final product, which comes with, you know, getting polished again, getting reintegrated into the season after a major injury. Yep. It wasn't there. But the fact that he was getting those chances, which is the hardest part, is great and telling. And
yep.
I am very happy for him just that he was getting those chances.
Well said. I think a lot of the credit goes to Frankie Lampard.
Yes.
The outside back on that right side for Ajax, Sergino Dest.
Mm-hmm. American.
Yeah, funny enough, American. Which, one for the future there. But
he does not mean that, listeners. He does not mean that.
I do, actually. He's a good player, and going forward, he's actually a really good player. It's the defensive part that he struggled, which, you know, you're going
yeah,
up against
Callum
Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah, it's the primary objective of his position that he struggles at.
Correct. Fair enough. So,
didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I had to put that dig
in. Yeah. So he would bomb forward, and Callum wouldn't track him at all.
Nope.
And credit to Frankie Lampard's
intentional,
you know, tactics saying, stay up there. We'll catch him on the counter. And mm-hmm. he did. He found acres of space.
Yeah.
And like you said, the pace, lack of pace for them showed.
Yeah. And I think, you know, their right wing is really good.
Ziyech.
Yeah, but he was not good today. And it's
no,
interesting because there were times where he slowed down against Alonso. And I think part of it was that Alonso was cutting off angles. And Alonso is such a big guy.
Yeah, he bodied him up.
There may have just been that human element of intimidation. And I was quite impressed by our often languid and often slated left back. Today he was great.
No, so, hey, credit where credit's due. Alonso was very, very good. I mean, everybody really put in a good effort.
Mm-hmm.
Zuma.
Awesome.
Played fantastic. I thought it was his best game of the season.
Could have been one of his best games in a blue shirt, which was black and orange.
Good call. The one man who struggled a good amount, Willian.
Yes.
Not his best showing. I would have liked to see Frankie switch him over to Callum's side so that he had a little bit less defensive responsibilities just to see for a little while there. But
one of the things, if you're a winger and you're receiving the ball 20 yards into your own half, you know, on the defensive side of your own half line, you should not be flicking the ball. And Willian consistently was trying to do that. And as a senior player, he should know better, but it seriously didn't seem like he did today, and it was just not a good showing for him. I believe I counted 5 or 6 times he lost the ball in the first half, and even times at the corner of our own 18. That is extremely problematic, especially when your right back is aging, although it did not play terrible.
No, he didn't.
But Willian, it's either all or nothing with him. He's either super black or super white in terms of, you know, that dichotomy. There's not really a lot of gray area. It's either a really good game or he sucks. Today he sucked. And let's just call a spade, he was due to suck.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yep.
Jorginho, Kovacic in the middle.
Good. Kovacic is really good.
Jorginho, very, very good. I was very impressed. Yeah.
Obviously, they're different players, but they
complement each other, dude.
Yeah, they do this thing where they're dribbling past, you know, towards our own goal. Then they turn and they do this little flick. And then the other guy dribbles diagonally away from our goal and then does another flick. And they basically do this convoluted circle around the other midfield. But they're so in sync that it often works. And it's really cool and really clever if you don't already expect it as a Chelsea fan.
Right. They're fun to watch in there together, and I thought
they
recovered the ball very well. Both of them pressed, you know, really were the kickstart for the press for the whole team, and it was great to see.
One shout out to Kovacic is that even if he's in our own six, I know he's gonna avoid pressure.
Yeah, that's his.
The guy is a press buster.
It's he's one unreal.
Of, if not the best. Press buster defensive mids alongside ironically Frankie De Jong, and Sergio Busquets, both of whom play for Barcelona. But yeah, Kovacic is just an unbelievable master evasive guy. He could be in a crowded phone booth and get out without even getting touched. It's amazing.
Mason Mount,
quiet,
a little bit
good
quiet.
And aggressive at times in the first half, but really drifting. And I think part of it is he's probably tired.
Might be. I thought he was pretty good. He connected the play well.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, you know, pressing a good amount, keeping track of Donny van der Beek for Ajax. Oh, yeah.
Who, by the way, I'm surprised is still there.
Well, he's the next one tipped to leave. But, you know, Mount put the legwork in, got to give him credit,
mm-hmm.
did what he had to. What did you think of Tammy?
Very clever at times.
Yeah.
Aggressive. There was this sequence, I believe around the 35-minute mark, where he showed so much passion and heart and scrap.
Yep.
You know, a little Diego-esque.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, motherfucker, Tammy. You know, he looks skinny, but the dude's got some Abraham Lincoln strength in him. You remember that quote in Fight Club where, you know, Edward Norton's character asks Brad Pitt who he wants to fight, you know, an American president. And Brad Pitt says, Abraham Lincoln, skinny guys fight till they're burger. And he wasn't wrong, dude. Tammy's the tallest and skinniest, and that dude's got some scrap. Yeah, so I loved it.
I love seeing that development in his game. I would love to see a little bit more of it, but
a little bit more muscle too, obviously. Yeah,
but he's coming. He's still young.
I love him. I love Tammy.
I thought he had a good work rate, but you know, a little unlucky today.
Yeah, it's interesting because if there's one thing that Mishi does really well, right place, right time. He's certainly not the player of Tammy. And we'll get into Mishi later.
Yeah.
He's certainly not the player that Tammy time is. But when it comes to being lucky, which at this point is a skill for Mishi.
Yeah, it is.
Those lucky situations where you just read the right pass, the right sequence, and you know and you anticipate what's going to happen. Mishi does that really well. He just doesn't finish as well as Tammy, and he's not as great of a player. But Tammy needs to be more anticipatory.
Yeah.
He needs to be more proactive instead of reactive. And you know what? Mishi's also 5 years older than him, so it takes time.
That's fair. Tomori, coming back to the defense, we'll get into him a little bit more later, but exceptional.
Yep, exceptional. Him and Zuma, they were not – any reason why we played poor. In fact, we didn't play poor, but they were not the reasons why we did. I love Tamori. I do think he will be a starter for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, off and on this season because Rudiger will come back. But I think that there is a permanent place for Tamori. Zuma, I think that his stock is growing. And by stock, I mean how much we're going to be able to sell him for. He did play really – No. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Zuma did play really well today. He was a wall.
Yeah, he was.
And he just doesn't fit what we want to do, and especially what Kepa wants to do, because that is his back line. And what he does, you know, goes and how he operates for that initial pass and that initial sequence, it does dictate how the rest of the three lines work.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants Zuma as part of it.
It'll be interesting to see if he can – continue his development and play consistently how he did today. I think he'll be on this team.
It's the passing, Paul.
I know it is. Today it was fine. He got himself in a few difficult situations. The pitch bailed him out one time. He had to foul one time, you know, like, but I was really happy with his play today.
I'm not going to slay the Chelsea player just because I don't think he belongs here. I mean, he's had a great game.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
He had a great game. All right, let's move on.
All right, so pitch, fouls, referee.
Okay, so this is something that I wanted to ask you about. Yep. And this is something that really affected Tammy Abraham in particular.
Yep.
Apparently, Ajax Stadium hosted a concert venue like two nights before this game. Terrible planning. Terrible planning considering they knew what group they were going to be in months ago. And that pitch looked so inferior. It almost felt like there was a sheet of ice, like we're playing in the LA Kings fucking arena.
It was
and we
ridiculous.
Put a goddamn piece of grass on top of it.
Absolutely
it was horrible.
Ridiculous. Players for both sides just falling all over the place.
Just falling all over the place. Tammy could not even, like, it seemed like there was some underpants gnome trying to trip him every time he got on the block to get sprinting.
It was
the underpants gnome game and just fucked him up.
I haven't seen that before.
It's crazy. Not on UCL, dude.
No.
Craziness. I'm very disappointed in IS considering that's such a prestigious club.
Yep.
And they pride themselves so much on their ability to build an atmosphere to pass the ball, and we couldn't. They couldn't. Teams, we were just slipping and sliding like it was Blades of Glory out there. Ridiculous.
Yep.
Okay, fouls. 30 fouls collectively from both teams. A lot more from Ajax.
They weren't called. For me, it was pretty one-sided.
Yeah, the referees, there was a lot of home cooking there until probably like the 25th minute mark. I don't think we got one foul called for us. It was crazy.
I know. And
like every single time we would build up an attack, when we would win the ball, I actually would just, you know, they would do something. They would kick our ankle. They would grab our jersey. They would do something to inhibit our ability to counter.
Yeah.
And often they weren't called. I mean, how many times did coaches win the ball and then have to basically break out of his jersey like goddamn Frank Darabont's movie Shawshank Redemption, where Andy Dufresne tears off his shirt after running through a river of poo? Like he has to tear off his jersey to keep moving forward. Shit was bananas, yo. Fucking bananas.
Bananas. And after all that, they end up with two yellow cards. We end up with one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't want to play with like 10, and I didn't want them to play with 10.
No. This was a well-played game. Stylistically, both sides playing very hard, you know, being honest, which is great to see. And to be fair, we have not complained about the reffing of any of our previous games.
Well, it's not my style. It's not your style. I think that's a very cheap argument.
Agreed.
Because you constantly hear people that are uneducated about the game bitching about the refs. It's like, buddy, most refs, they're trying to call it honest.
Exactly.
It's a tough job. Yeah, so let's leave it at that. I mean, the pitch was the biggest culprit of today's issues.
How do you feel about the goal that was called back for them?
He was offsides for sure.
Yep.
There was a foot out there. And then, I mean, off the deflection, he was really offsides. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it was the right call. I normally, if Chelsea gets scored on, I do an irrational freak out. And this is coming from someone who's cerebral, has a master's degree, and is 31 years old trying to start a family. And I do a fucking bitch fit of a 16-year-old girl probably living in Palo Alto, California, going nuts. Yep. But I didn't. I was like, oh, that's offsides. No problem.
Well, it was interesting because it was his upper body that was offsides. And it looked to be mostly his arm. Now, if it goes into his shoulder, then definitely he's offsides.
Mm-hmm.
It was a close call if it was his shoulder or not. The rule reads it has to be a part of the body that you can score a goal with.
Uh-huh, I understand.
So, I think we probably got a bit lucky on that.
And how many times have we hit the woodwork in the last 3 years?
Correct.
I'm saying water's finding its level and we're fine.
As Frank said, you make your own luck. And
I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, dude.
No. So, let's go statistics.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at 2 shots on target for them, 4 shots on target for us.
Okay.
9 shots total for us, 5 shots total for them.
Mm-hmm.
52 possession for them, 48 for us.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much what we were expecting.
Yeah.
I mean,
48, 52, it might as well be equal.
Exactly. I was happy. First half, we had a little bit less, predictably. Mm-hmm. Second half, mm-hmm. we bounced right back and really dominated.
You could just notice that our keeper continues to not do much at the office. You know, he's just kind of back there picking his butt. You know, thinking about how many of his future kids he's going to name Jorge. I mean, the whole deal. Jorge with the Spanish Catalonia name.
Yeah.
Spelling with the tilde, the whole deal.
He's not picking his butt. He's waving at the ladies.
Oh, he definitely is. Most handsome man in football. Kepa Arrizabalaga. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a fuck. He is.
But, yeah. Coming back to our midfield. Big,
yep.
big part really of that stuff by them. Really, really passed the ball well and held it up for us there.
Mm-hmm.
The goal, Michi. So,
yeah, break it down for us.
Yeah, let me go to our substitutes here. So, Willian came off in the 66th minute for Pulisic.
Yeah,
Tammy Abraham came off in the 71st for Michi.
Yep.
And then Reese came on in the 90th for Callum Hudson-Odoi to shore things up there.
Sure.
I was a little surprised with Tammy coming off in the 70th. It's a little bit early. I would have liked to see him go a little longer.
Sometimes you have to have Michi come on with a little bit more time so he gets well acquainted with the game.
Yeah.
Because he's not a hold-up striker. He's really not great at it at all.
Yeah, but as much as he's a big body.
He needs to have enough scenarios in the final third for him to get comfortable.
Yep.
And it did because it showed that Pulisic deflection that fell to him. You know, if it's Drogba, he's just passing it into the corner. If it's Diego Costa, he's going to punch the left back in the balls, fuck the girlfriend of the, you know, the goalkeeper, and then he's going to pass it right into the corner.
Yeah.
Michi, he was hasty. He was hasty.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
So, Pulisic coming on in the 66th.
Yes.
Immediate difference. Running at players. Immediate impact. Yep.
Yes.
Looked really good. Looked confident.
Well, the pundits for the post-game show, they expressed exactly what you expressed in that when Pulisic and Michy Batshuayi came on, it was a profound disparity between before they came on and when they came on. It was a complete game-changing situation. Frank Lampard was sublime in that decision and in the timing of that decision.
Exactly right. He got it exactly right and won us this game.
Yes.
Credit to Frankie.
Awesome. Awesome. And he's still just getting his sea legs. He's got a lot more to prove. And this is a Mensa IQ guy. He's one of the smartest people to have ever taken the IQ test. People don't know that. That's a fun fact, though.
That is a fun
fact. I'm sure he's in, like, the high 160s, low 170s. The guy is a brilliant man.
And it is showing. And so, you know, great to see Pulisic finding form. And credit again to Frankie putting him on the left side so he doesn't have to track back again.
Yep.
He lined up his fellow American there.
Mm-hmm.
Crossed it between his legs. Marcos, near post run, lets it run through his legs. And it finds Michi right in the center of the net. Michi does his best to blast it over. Goes off the inside of the crossbar and into the net. Thank the Lord.
By the way, I thought that was a very deft non-touch by Marcus Alonso.
Absolutely.
That's class and that's experience right there.
Exactly right.
It just shows that he absolutely knew he didn't have the angle. The guy was literally right in front of him. It was going to get blocked.
Yep.
But he sold it like a bag of goods, man. It was excellent by Marcus Alonso.
It was. And again, getting forward, being in dangerous places, that's Marcos right there, left back.
Oh, yeah. He does the underlap better than most left backs in the world. He really does. He underlaps right into that half space, and he's very special and very difficult to manage because of his size and because of his striking ability when he gets into those positions.
Well said. Now, also bears mentioning, before Michi does score his goal, he has a sitter. Similar situation, more open.
Cobwebs.
And blasts it straight over.
He's always due for one of those every cameo, every performance, every game. Michi is going to Michi. But after he Michis, he's going to Drogba.
He's going to get that winner. And that's his thing. He, like you said, he seems to be at the right place at the right time, just an opportune player.
Oh, yeah, total opportunist.
Yeah, you can't teach that.
But I got to be real with you. If he's cool with being a sub, I'm cool with keeping him.
I love that. And I think a lot of credit to Frankie again for bringing him along. Beginning of the season, he wasn't even on the bench. He had him doing fitness.
Yeah.
Now he's bringing him along. He's incorporating him into the team. And look what he does.
Yeah. So let's be very happy for Pulisic. I think that next game is going to be very interesting what Frank Lampard does.
Yeah.
And I believe that the starters will be Kalum Mutsundoy and Christian Pulisic with Tammy Abraham as the head of the snake.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with
you. That's the way it's going to be.
I think Pulisic is making Frank play him. His last couple, you know, two assists, last two appearances. Mm-hmm.
So last thing before we get on, you know, like player of the game, because we already know that Frankie got his subs right. And it won us the game. I want to say this, and I want to address this only one time. No more fucking flex. No more flex. None of you are Eden Hazard. You're not. Eden Hazard is the flick master. He doesn't play for us anymore. He fucked off to Madrid, where he got super fat on paella, all right, and too much sex with an overrated wife. All right, get out of here. Okay, the dude's as fat as a house, and he can still flick better than anybody on this team. Stop flicking the ball.
That's right. Okay? These are different flicks than the flicks you were referencing from Jorginho and Kovacic in the middle.
That those are passes.
Correct.
With direction and intent and purpose. Doing some no look outside of your bladed foot bullshit. That's not a high percentage thing. That's like you just going to your futsal arena locally, saying, you know, I'm just going to meg everybody and see how many times it actually works. Guess what? It's going to work like 10% of the time. Same thing with these stupid flicks. You're not Eden Hazard. We don't want you to be Eden Hazard. Willian, Callum Hudson-Odoi, stop doing it.
Yeah.
Stop doing it. Enough. Moving on. I had to rant there, but moving on.
Fine. Glad you got that out.
I had to. I had to exercise that demon.
Who's your player of the game?
Oh, Mateo Kovacic. And here's the reason why. Number one, he is the best player on this team. Anyone that doesn't think so, I do not care. And anyone that doesn't think so is probably not a center mid. I have been my entire life. Mateo Kovacic is a god. He's one of the best center mids in the entire world, the best player on this team. And he was the best player on the pitch today. That's what I have to say.
Love it. No arguments here. He's a baller.
Oh, that's great.
I would go my player of the game, Tomori. Held it down and back and really just didn't do much wrong. He won all his duels pretty much. Every time anybody, you know, got by Marcos with the hair, Tomori was there. Anytime anybody came through the middle, Tomori was there. And if it wasn't Tomori, it was Zuma. So it's really credit to both of them. But Tomori was the rock in the back.
Yeah. Every time he has the ball, I have such peace of mind. Even when he makes a shitty pass, I still have peace of mind. The man's a beautiful person.
Great with his
feet.
He
does great things.
That's right. Great with his feet. He has the pace.
Yo, I have to address. Did you see that Cruyff?
Yeah. He sent the guy sliding. I said. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what we're referencing, Tomori's all the way actually on the other side of the pitch from where his position is, but on the
right side,
going to clear a ball, and I believe it was Tadic who was hounding him. He's on the touchline, looks like he's just going to smash it out, and Tadic is all over him, has it covered, and he just pulls a Cruyff, which behind his back, little cutback, and Tadic goes flying, sliding on that pitch.
Out of bounds.
Yep. I said, whoo.
Oh, my Lord.
This kid is confident.
Well, that boy that got thrown out of the club by the biggest motherfucking baddest bouncer, he just got to go home. He's got to take his ball and go home. That's it, buddy. That's it. You ain't getting laid tonight. The club is closed for you. Gotta go home.
Honorable mention, Dave had some great plays. He had one that sticks out, a block cross. Absolutely sold out to block that cross. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, captain's performance.
For me, honorable mention, Christian Pulisic, a.k.a. Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America. So that's what we got.
Love it.
Talk to me about notable results. There definitely was one.
Yep. So Valencia and Lille, we said coming into this, it's not a cakewalk.
Nope.
Valencia up 1-0 the whole game, got a red card. Just trying to see it out. And in stoppage time, Lille with a great goal. Great individual effort for a goal.
100% agree.
And 1-1, that game ends. You couldn't have written this string of results up better than what it actually happened.
It's been that way for us for a couple of weeks now, both, you know, domestically and abroad.
Yep. Love it. Absolutely love it. So now Chelsea and Ajax tied at the top of the group on 6 points.
With us in first.
We have the head-to-head advantage. Therefore, we are top of the group.
It's beautiful. And I'm really happy for the boys. Really happy for Frank. Really happy for Christian Pulisic, who I believe, segueing into the final topic, will start against Burnley.
That's right. So Burnley next game this weekend.
Yes.
We did talk about it briefly, and we will do a full pregame, of course.
Of course.
But, yeah, Burnley's a solid team. They're going to make us – they're going to play us honestly. You know, Ginger Mo, Sean Dyche, good coach.
Great coach.
They're in eighth place currently.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good game.
Well, I mean, any game in the Premier League is a great game because any team that's allowed to be in the Premier League is probably better than 90% of the other leagues. So,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, this ain't fucking Spain. Get out of here.
No.
We don't have to play Celta Vigo or any other team that I can't spell because there's too many L's and too many consonants.
Which serves us a huge advantage in Champions League. You can see it today. We weren't outmatched. We were the better team.
Well, no, and it's funny because Ajax, even without the D-Boys, De Jong, and Matthias De Ligt, they're still really good.
They are really good.
And we were simply better, and we were better in possession.
Yep.
I don't care about the 48-52 thing. I watched the game.
Yep.
There's an eye test. Yep. I watched the passes, and it was very telling that Chelsea probably has always been good, but – there's such a self-confidence here, man. There's such a self-belief. And every single player is backing our man.
That's right.
And it's great, man. It's just great. It's such a very soothing, fun, jovial feeling. I had such a good time watching the game. And, you know, Christian Pulisic just doing the business.
Yeah, really happy for him. And
so
and
happy.
Doing what he does best. Going at guys, lining them up.
Yeah.
You know, just creating opportunities. And it must be said, this is – Ajax hadn't given up a goal in Champions League play this season. So.
Yep. Well, that statistic is not surprising because it's a great team.
That's right.
Anyways, so this is going to conclude our post-match analysis for our third Champions League game in our 2019 UCL campaign against Ajax. I'm your host, Carlito Esposito, joined by my co-host, Paulinho. And this has been the London is Calling podcast. Fellas,
cheers.
Adios, amigos.
Yeah.
Later.